How's everyone doing? Okay. It's pretty hot in here, right? Kind of steaming. Again, we want to welcome everyone to the service, and it's a joy to see everyone's faces. It's a very blessed event, not only in the parents' lives, but in our Christian lives. And before I get into my message, I do have a quick question for you. And that is, how much body of water is on the earth? That's good, yeah. 71%. I Googled it. It's about 71% of the earth's surface is water covered. And the ocean holds about 96.5% of all the earth's water. Now here's another question. How much water is inside a human body? Average human percent of water inside a person is 50 to 60%. Now, LeBron James doesn't need that percentage because he is the biggest guy in the planet who doesn't need water, according to Pastor Joe Mills, because he is a big Cleveland fan. So congratulations. Water is a big deal in our lives, especially in an infant. Infant percentage of water is about 70 to 78, but that goes down after 1 year. Why am I talking about water? Why am I asking you these questions? The funny thing is that we cannot live without water. Okay. When you see in the scriptures, from the time of the Old Testament to the New Testament, here are some of the scriptures, and I'm not going to read all of them for you, but I'm going to just briefly say a couple, and we all know the first one is that happens with Noah. Noah was saved by a flood, and that dealt with water. Another one had a deal with Moses leading his people to the Red Sea, and we saw God departed the Red Sea to make them be. The water could be a good thing. And then when we see in the New Testament, we see a man named John the Baptist did his ministry, was doing a ministry where God had a plan for him to baptize people, to make a way for Jesus Christ. And when Jesus entered the Jordan River, we all know what happened. The heavens opened up, and God said, "This is my beloved Son." And then water continued after that. We saw Jesus walking on water. So you see, water is a good thing. And water could be bathing. In our events, in this day and age that we live in, it could wipe out a whole city, like Hurricane Katrina. It could wipe out a whole country, like what we saw in the tsunamis that happened way back then. But we still have a purpose. We still have to water those plants. We still have to water those zucchinis. We still have to water ourselves. Today, I have a question. How often do you think about your baptism? I want everyone to take a moment. Take a moment of this question. Do you guys think about it every day? Once a week? Once a month? Show of hands. Do not be afraid, because this is a blessing. This is praise to God that what God has done to your lives. We all got infant baptism, but I want to see the hands that has an adult baptism. Please don't be afraid. Amen. That's really good. When we think about our baptism, when we think about someone else's baptism, we don't even think about ourselves at times. Today I know I gave the scripture from Luke, but I'm actually going to be, I actually changed it a little, and I'm sorry about that. But my message is actually going to be from Romans 6, 1 through 14. And we'll read it, and then I will continue. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died in sin live any longer in it? Or don't you not know that as many of us as we were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For who has died has been freed from sin. Now we have died with Christ. We believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has a dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Do not present your members an instrument of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as an instrument of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have a dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord. You have given us a day to worship your name, Lord. We just want to bless you and bless all of us here and open our hearts, our minds, Lord, as we are going to hear the message about baptism and what's the purpose of it and why you had to be baptized. Lord, this country is, as we know, it's drowning. There are Christians out there that are lost with no words to speak, Lord. But just help all of us to spread the gospel in the way according to your plan. And we want to thank you, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. So the Old Testament believers, when you see that, they were instructed to basically tell God's commandments. When they had to sit at home, when you had to walk along the road, when you had to lie down, when you had to get up, that's according to what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Baptism is like that too. We need to talk about it when we have family dinners, family time, when we visit a friend. We need to preach it and teach it, talk it and walk it. This baptismal service reminds us of that. Good Friday and Easter reminds us of that as well. So today I'm going to talk about baptism. Even though we worked so hard to have this baptismal service, and everyone, whoever's in charge, everyone wanted to have a baptismal service to be perfect. But ceremonies ceremonies may get in the way as well. Certain words, actions, but much more than a ceremony. A ceremony in the church serves the point the more and to the comfort. Without a baptism, we might hear that more clearly. I'm not going to talk about infant baptism, adult baptism, but I will not about remembering the words that you might have remembered your infant baptism. We don't remember it, but we heard it from other people. We heard it from our family. We heard it from our parents. We heard it from everyone who attended it. We have pictures about it. But the most important thing that was there in the presence of our parents and of our guardians was God speaking to them and telling them every single word in that ceremony. You will hear that baptism confirms and declares that we have a new identity in Jesus. we will be challenged to live that identity. Let us hear very clearly when I said that our baptism in church is very important. And this baptismal service is very important. But the baptism is more than a ceremony. It is more than a christening or once in a life event that happens to a baby or to some adult. When we read in Romans chapter 6, verse 3, it says, "Don't you know?" Well, I'll just read it here. "Or do you not know that as many of us as we were baptized in Christ, Jesus, were baptized into his death?" It seems a question that came out to me that was born out of frustration. Don't you know? Haven't you forgotten? Have you not been told? Don't you give any thought about it? Our baptism tells us that we were baptized into Jesus Christ. The meaning of it, that may not be immediately clear to us, but the word baptism is a foreign word. Maybe that's why we don't understand what baptism really means. Baptism means dip, immerse, wash, to be drenched. Also, it means drenched with, colored with Jesus. Look at your baptism. Look at your drenching. Look at your coloring with Jesus. How many know what this is? Dunk? A dunk pit. And what do you do with a dunk pit? You put someone there. Who do you want to put someone in there? Your brother? That was my sister, if you're not here. A dunk tank is someone, especially a person, who might try to get away or to be challenged to be dunked. Now, we see this in carnivals, where I recently went to a carnival in Virginia, and this clown was there irritating me like crazy. He was provoking me to give my money to try and dunk him. I hit the bullseye, and you know how carnivals, they scam you, and they try every possible way for you to keep on losing their money. So I tried it just once. I had a good forearm, and it was pretty good. My overhand throw is not that great, but I did pretty well, and I hit the bullseye. But the man was still sitting. And Blessie was there, and she was standing there, and she was didn't know what to do. And it's funny because I wanted to get frustrated at the person who was in charge with the dunk take, and the clown was just still provoking me, trying to tell me to give more money. But I was just like, no, I'm not going to do it. Now, the purpose of this example is that if a person dunks would come, how delightful it would be to see someone coming out of a dunk take dripping wet. I would be happy if I dunked that clown and see him dripping wet. But just imagine if that person dunked would come out green. That would help us understand what baptism is about. The Romans knew what Paul meant in this chapter. They did not have a language problem. But it reminds us to be necessary. Don't you know? You were immersed with Jesus. So when you're immersed with Jesus, that means when Christ died, you died. When he was buried, you were buried. And when you arose to a new life, you arose to a new life. Not only that, baptism, understand this, is a visible sign. It's a constant reminder. It's a pointing to us in where we are with the relationship of Jesus. It affirms our identity with him. That concludes. It tells us that we are part of new people, the people of Jesus. It tells us that we are no longer immersed in Adam, but in Jesus. It tells us that we are no longer subject to death because of Adam's sin. And the best thing is, it tells us that we are subject to life because God immersed us in His Son. These words are so magnificent and wonderful, and what we just do is we just sit back and relax. We go our regular day routine. But Paul, when you see this, when you look in your mirror every day, you have to, it reminds you, who raised you? I know your parents raised you, but who was with you when you were raised to a new life? Jesus. Every baptismal font calls out to us to live our identity in Jesus, to clothe ourselves with Him, to put away stuff that marked us before we died and arose with Him. That was Paul's instructions to the Romans. Drunkenness, disagreement, jealousy. In order to really grab what Paul was really saying, he said this. God amazingly and surprisingly did something completely unexpected. He gave His Son, Jesus, to take away His anger, take away our sins, and to set our feet on a new path. God made His Son, Jesus, to be the head of the new people. God replaced all the old humanity, of which Adam was the head of, and the new humanity, of which Christ is our head. What does God do goes beyond us. It is very hard to grasp such divine glory and grace. But what His actions through Jesus means for us is that with Christ is our head. His dying become our dying, and His resurrection becomes our resurrection. Through Adam's death and sin came into the world, through Christ's life and righteousness came into the world. Through Christ's life and righteousness came into our life. And that, brothers and sisters, that is a gift. We have been united with Christ in His death, in His resurrection. Such words make us think of Golgotha, the grave in which Jesus was laid, the stone that rolled away, and the tomb that was empty. What happened to Jesus not only happened to me and me standing here, but each and every one of you. Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father. And for that, we were raised a new life. That is good news, ladies and gentlemen. It is not the baptismal ceremony that makes us the participants in this wonderful work of God in Jesus. The baptismal ceremony is a sign and seal to the congregation and to the person being baptized that in God's eyes, we are. Dead to sin but alive in Him is Christ Jesus. Like I said before, the apparent frustration of "don't you know?" question of Paul led me to think that Roman Christians, they only carried their life as they always did. Baptism to Jesus made no difference to their life. Now, doesn't that sound familiar to any of you? But Paul won't settle for that. Therefore, the question is, everyone, shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? No. We may not live that way since we have died to sin and are dying with Jesus. Our old nature was crucified so that sin might be done with Him. Our resurrection with Him took place so not you and me could have a wonderful life, but have a new life. So don't let sin reign your body. Sin, telling you, sin is not your master. Jesus is your Lord. See yourself as a belonging to Him. Make grace as your umbrella. You live in a shelter. You raise from the dead to bear the fruit of God. As we know, baptism is a promise and also a challenge. We dead to sin. We have been raised to a new life. We have received a new course outlined for living. But we make it hard. Therefore, put on a new life. Set your heart on things to God. Count yourself alive to God in Jesus Christ. This is an imperative. Thus, how you must and may see yourself. Count yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus. You are more than what his negative upbringing may have given to you. Some of you may have heard these words before, have a very bad image of themselves and family of an origin. You may have been told that God, who sees everything, sees your worthlessness, sinful, and inclined to all evil. You may be haunted by an image of yourself as someone who can be no good. You may not even be the image by living a life that is dead at the end of the street. But hear this. You have been raised to a new life, and you are able to instrument a righteousness, as we read in Romans 6, verse 13. God sees you as a worthy, as a wonderful maid, and a uniquely gifted by Him. Count yourself dead by sin, and alive in Jesus, you are able to rise above the violent and traumatic experiences. No one will never forget them. Some who heard these words have been scarred by abuse. Some have been bullied at home, at school, on the streets. That may still be in your experience. You may even continue what has been handed down to you, violence and abuse. But hear this. You have been raised to a new life and able to be an instrument of righteousness. See yourself, everyone, as a clean, able to learn new ways of being in a relationship and capable of self-control. The Spirit of God is within you. Count yourself within you in Jesus. You are more than the forces of marketplace and the creed of more and more. You may experience its lure and perhaps even enjoy its possibilities. Perhaps you pursue a lucrative lifestyle that may be at the expenses of a person in another part of the world. But hear this. You've been raised a new life and able to be an instrument of righteousness. Everyone, look at your baptism. Look at who you are and let your baptism in church be a constant sign and a witness to you. Perhaps you say baptism is not important to me. If your parents took you to church and you were being baptized, I would ask you, did it make any difference out of it? What counts is your admission into Jesus. What counts is not your choice and the affirmation, but God's choice. As He declared to you in your baptism, what counts is God's call to all of us is to be an instrument of righteousness in your personal life, in our churches, in our homes, in our world. This is an easy thing. Jesus set a new path for us. And what are we all doing? We're all getting old. We're all lazy. I'm tired. I ate too much. Those are the excuses that we hear from Christians these days. And as we hear on the news, we could talk about the news every single day. But are you taking any action for it? I always tell my youth class that I don't know why I always cry about you guys. No, the reason why, I don't know. It's my class. It's the most unique class. It's my first youth class. And I tell them that the number one thing is, even though you're getting older, the possibilities are out there. Do not let anyone shatter your dream. If you have that calling for you to go and spread the gospel, go and do it. I mean, I could do it. I have no problem with that. But what's stopping me, like everyone else, we have a life. We have a job, and we have money, and we have to support our family. But Jesus gave us a path. When he gives you a path, do not end that path. Continue with it. Because down the road, things could change. Perhaps you are young and you were baptized, but do not speak to me. The baptism does not speak. But baptism does speak to you. Just need to listen to a new way. I'm very stubborn. My family knows that, and Blessy knows that as well. And sometimes life does not go your own plan. And for us, we should let God decide what plan he has for our life. But whoever is here that has any doubt, experience any depression. Whoever is here that is unemployed or anywhere in the country or anywhere in the world that's having any family problems, marriage, you lost a loved one, you wonder if God cares about you. You're not sure about salvation. This is a great question. Why should I live a new life? You ask, why has God done for me? Look at your baptism. Look at your life. Let God decide what it is that he needs to do for you. I have a clip for you. And that clip is from Toy Story 2. Has anyone watched that movie? Toy Story 2? Yeah? Okay. So this scene that I picked from the movie is where Woody gets kidnapped by a toy collector. Okay? And all this time in the first movie and towards the second movie, he did not know who he really was. Okay? He was part of an owner. And when you say an owner, you know, his name was Andy, and he has Andy engraved on his shoe. But he came to realize that when he got kidnapped, he saw his other side of his life. He's met his friend Jesse and Bullseye and the Prospector. The question is this story, how can this story relate to our Christian faith? I love that movie. One of my all-time, I would say all-time favorites besides Jungle Book, but Toy Story 2, they've done a marvelous job with that. But the reason why I picked that clip is when we all stood up, when the congregation made that covenant in the baptism, embraced that one baptism, my son, It is our responsibility as a community, much like how Woody's friends, helping the baptized discover their identity, his identity, as a child of God, and helping them to live in their human vocation. Believers, throughout this time, Apostle Paul, reading what he wrote to the Romans, it's simple. Our sins are forgiven. We are grafted by Jesus. We are able to bear the fruits of his righteousness. And we are blessed with the Spirit of Jesus. All I could say is, Luke's baptism, our baptism, is indeed good news. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord. You blessed us with hearts that be in a way where we could be troubled, where things cannot go as according to plan. Water, Lord, you have blessed us with water. You have blessed us tremendously because we need it in our systems. But the water of the symbol that you have given us in the Bible, showing that Jesus came down to start his ministry, to show that he has to be one of us, to be the humblest person, he had to be baptized to start anything, Lord. Without that baptism, Lord, there wouldn't be a death. He wouldn't be forgiving our sins. There wouldn't be a resurrection. There wouldn't be an Easter. There wouldn't be anything, Lord. This is a one of another plan from you, Lord. This baptismal service, you have blessed us from the beginning to the end, from the preparation of it, Lord. But help us to remind us that it's not because of the ceremony, but it's because of you. You're speaking to all of us to give us a new life. Without Jesus, without your Son coming to this earth, you have given us a life. Bless our hearts, Lord, no matter what we're going through, Lord. Whatever we're facing, Lord, just bless all of us. Bless this Sunday, Lord, and bless everyone who came out to make a covenant for Luke. And no matter what, Lord, help this church, help the community to show him the new identity. Show him that you have given him a life, a new life in Christ. And for that, Lord, we'll give you the praise and we give you the glory for what you're going to do, not in our lives, but for the whole world. In your name, amen.